Good afternoon. I have recently changed positions, joining Texas A&M, Texas AgriLife Research, and spent the last year trying to formulate a new program in crop physiology. And it got me thinking about some of the paradigms that we use in thinking about drought tolerance and developing crop drought tolerance. And I guess it got me thinking about how we might try to revise some of these paradigms to help us develop crop tolerance. First of all, some of the things that we operate under is that when we develop experiments, we oftentimes target extremes in the environment. So we're comparing an extremely droughted plant compared to a well-watered plant under severe stress. We also tend to concentrate on these endpoints and not really look at the responses, the physiological responses, as they develop out throughout the drought period. And then we often ignore the backside of that curve where we're actually recovering from the drought after irrigation or rainfall application. These are fairly problematic because these don't really reflect the real conditions that are experienced in the field by the crop. For example, crops most often experience moderate drought stress rather than very severe drought stress, or they experience a severe drought stress only in very short time periods. Also, drought stress tends to gradually develop over a longer time period and most often peaks in certain developmental time periods, such as mid-season. And then it's punctuated by episodic recovery events as we apply irrigation or it receives rainfall. So what we wanted to do, our team wanted to do, was kind of operate under a new paradigm where we tried to develop a management strategy that exploited the conditions that were experienced real time in a typical field condition. And in this case, we have termed this management strategy primed acclimation. This is not a new idea. This is the idea of applying a moderate drought stress early in the season to the crop that then increases the drought tolerance later on in the season. By looking at the mechanisms behind prime acclimation, we were also interested in kind of operating under a different measurement paradigm as well, looking at the responses as the drought develops, and then also looking at that those recovery mechanisms that may be operating in the drought tolerance response. To do this, we conducted the experiment on a large-scale field research in West Texas on a grower's farm in Seminole, Texas, looking at three different irrigation application rates, 100% irrigation, 75%, and 50%, that were timed to specific developmental time periods, early in the season, mid-season, and then late season. But what I'm going to concentrate on today are five treatments. One, the 100% control treatment, two deficit irrigation treatments, 75% and 50%, and then two treatments that we're calling primed acclimation, where the crop received a deficit of either 75% or 50% in the early season and then 100% throughout the rest of the season. It turns out by looking at the yields that our primed acclimation treatments were fairly successful at maintaining, or in some cases in this treatment here, actually increasing numerically the yield that was received. So, this is important in this region particularly because the attitude of the growers there is that they need to turn on the irrigation early in the season after the crop is planted and then leave it on for the entire season, or they just can't keep up with the water use. But in our treatments, we showed that primed acclimation did have an ability to increase the water use efficiency of the system. So we're interested then in understanding the mechanisms behind why it's working. To do that, we pinpointed three drought tolerance mechanisms that we thought were important at two time scales, and I'm going to use the analogy of a runner here to illustrate what we're looking at. First of all, in the long term, the seasonal long term physiological responses, we were interested in the conditioning of the crop, whether primed acclimation actually increased the conditioning or the performance curve of that crop throughout the season. So to illustrate that, for example, you can look at the physiological performance, say, in photosynthesis throughout the season, and you would typically see where the photosynthesis or whatever parameter you're looking at peaks in the mid-season and then begins to drop off as the crop senesces. Primed acclimation has the potential to increase the performance of the crop either by upregulating photosynthesis, for example, in the early season, or upregulating physiological function in the late season, or by maintaining physiology later on in the season. Those could all confer an advantage to primed acclimation. On the short-term scale, we wanted to look at a couple of traits. First of all, we wanted to look at physiological, what we've termed physiological endurance. So how long the physiological function can be maintained, either, for example, within a day, so from morning to afternoon, how is the photosynthetic level maintained? And then particularly between irrigation events, how long can that crop continue to perform until those levels start to drop off? Lastly, we wanted to look at recovery of the crop, again, the back side of that curve, understanding to what level the crop can recover. Now, I argue that these traits could be very important in drought tolerance, but we may miss them by concentrating on the endpoints or concentrating on the extremes. It turns out that primed acclimation does help in what we're terming the conditioning of that crop throughout the season. When you look at the photosynthetic levels of the 100% treatment, the 75%, and the 50%, we see a maintenance of the 75% deficit treatment similar to the 100%, but we see a real decrease in photosynthesis in the 50%, indicating that is an extreme treatment. But when we look at the two primed acclimation treatments, first of all, we see in the 50% primed acclimation, so that's 50% in the early season and then 100% for the rest of the season, we see an upregulation in the photosynthetic levels early in the season, whereas the advantage for the 75% primed acclimation appears to be a maintenance of photosynthesis later on in the season. So we do see an advantage of primed acclimation in conditioning that crop. Next, we wanted to look at physiological endurance, and in this case, we want to look at a very short time scale during the day. We wanted to look at how photosynthesis was maintained throughout the day. So in this case, we're looking at the percentage, the loss of photosynthesis from morning to afternoon. In this case, we're looking at a dry condition, so 7 days post-irrigation. We see that in the early season, both the 50% and our 50% primed acclimation treatments show no change from morning to afternoon, so they are maintaining their photosynthetic levels throughout the entire day. Of course, by mid-season, we begin to see that drop off in the afternoon as the conditions become more severe, but both of the primed acclimation treatments are dropping off to a lesser degree than the 100% application. Well, the endurance of that crop throughout the day is important, but it's also important for the physiological function to be maintained between irrigation time periods. And in our case, that was 7 days. It takes 7 days for that pivot to make an entire round around the field. It looks like primed acclimation helps that physiological endurance as well. So when you look at photosynthetic levels among the treatments, we see, of course, the 50% photosynthetic level of the 50% treatment drops off almost immediately. So that, again, that indicates it's a severe drought stress that these plants are experiencing. But when you compare the 100% to the two primed acclimation lines here in dashed lines, we see that the primed acclimation treatments are helping maintain photosynthetic levels higher than the 100% treatment. So it's through the irrigation period from day one to day seven, those levels are higher than the 100% treatment. So they're being maintained for a longer time period, thereby increasing their endurance. It appears that one of the processes behind this endurance may be due to stomatal control. So when you look at intrinsic water use efficiency across this time period between irrigation levels, we start to see some real differences at the end of the period, at the 7 day mark. At 168 hours, the photosynthetic levels are identical in all of the treatments except for the 50% treatment, which we saw dropped off completely. But, however, the differences in the intrinsic stomatal water use efficiency are probably due to greater stomatal control in the primed acclimation treatments than in the 100%. So we see their stomates are closing somewhat to save water, but they're still maintaining their photosynthetic levels. Looking at physiological endurance by examining overall crop condition using NDVI, here we see that the differences begin to show up among the treatments in 4 days post-irrigation, and they become really dramatic by 7 days by the end of the period, including some differences in the early morning, but quite dramatic by midday. What's interesting is that one of the primed acclimation treatments, the 75%, is maintaining overall crop condition as measured by NDVI above the 100%. So we are seeing some increases in endurance and overall crop performance. But we also see these drops in crop performance and crop health. Now the question is, how do they recover? What is that recovery response like? Turns out that there is differences in recovery ability in the primed acclimation treatments as well. So when we look at 7 days post-irrigation, so the driest condition, versus 1 day post-irrigation after they're re-wet, we see differences in the treatments. Particularly in the 50% and the 50% primed acclimation treatment, as evidenced by this red line here, we see an advantage not only in the upregulation of photosynthetic level in a dry condition, but the recovery response, the slope of this curve, is identical to the 100% treatment. So it's upregulating its photosynthetic level, but it's also maintaining a good recovery ability. By mid-season, we see a real advantage in the 75% primed acclimation treatment. Here we're looking at an increase in the slope of that curve in comparison to the 100%. So actually the recovery ability of that 75% prime acclimation treatment is improved. So in conclusion, we've found some mechanisms to drought tolerance in these primed acclimation treatments that we're terming conditioning, endurance, and recovery. We see improvements in those traits. First of all, primed acclimation may be programming the crop to better condition it early in the season to later season drought stress. So we're increasing the conditioning of the crop. It also appears that we're improving the endurance of the crop, so it's able to maintain its physiological function both within the day from morning to afternoon, but then also between irrigation events. So that could be an important trait. We're also improving the recovery of the crop by these primed acclimation treatments. And the recovery ability may be just as important as the endpoint drought stress response. How that crop recovers from drought stress may be just as important. And aside, it looks like we have a lot more ability to improve irrigation than we think. There's a lot more room for modification and improvement. And I'm also hoping that revising some of these paradigms, maybe perhaps in the way that we think about these physiological responses associated with drought tolerance and drought response, may help us better in the future develop crop drought tolerance. So, thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Time for a couple of questions.
Yeah. I know you quantified water use efficiency. Did you actually measure the water use rate, compare the conditions treatments to the 100%?
Say, like in sap flow or?
Total water use, actually backward transpiration
rate. Just with a Lycor 6400. So we were looking at transpirational levels, but on a point basis. We've done some sap flow work in this as well, and we do see a change in the sap flow responses to primed acclimation. But we didn't in this particular study. We didn't measure that.
How about root growth? Did you see change in root growth with conditioning treatment?
Yes, we did. We saw an increase in the depth and the lateral spread of the root system, as well as the maintenance of that root system throughout the season. So absolutely, I think that's a real key response.
So that's conditioning promoted deep division.
Yes, and that's commonly what the farmers say. I mean, oh, you're going to get that root system down, you're going to get it deep, and that certainly seems to be the case. Yes, sir.
You mentioned you have more flexibility in irrigation management. When can you cut back on the irrigation, and when can you not?
That's a real room for improvement and more research, because what we've found is that time period is really critical. You can either not stress it enough in the early season and then you won't get any benefit, or you can stress it too much, too long, and that you won't see, again, a benefit. So I think there's a lot of room there for particular crops and particular conditions. For peanut, we know fairly well, it's 45 days, but for the other crops, I don't know.